This episode was sponsored by Critical Dice and the Endless Bag of Dice.
Welcome to The Compendium, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about some of the, in the player's handbook, descriptions of what a tiefling can look like. Again, I feel like it can vary wildly, but I have also seen some pretty hot debates on the internet about, like, the color of tiefling skin that it's like, it's not in the player's handbook, but I'm on team, you know, it's a game that's for fun, you do you. But let's kind of go over what the player's handbook presents so that we can give people a feel for kind of the vibe that Wizards is trying to create here.
Yeah, exactly. I think you started that off perfectly. Do what you want, but here's what the book says. So, so the big features about tieflings that make them so distinct and so noteworthy is they have a couple of features. They have usually horns, and this could be anything from like really small, almost like satyr-like horns. Others might have like big, like circling, like, you know, mountain ram horn kind of things going on. Others are to be really like slender and tall and kind of have a gentle arch back like a gazelle. And others can just be really like really small or even close to the head that don't curve quite as much. I've seen depictions like that in even official art, which is kind of nice. And then, of course, they also typically have tails. Think Nightcrawler from the X-Men. If you've never seen a tiefling, just think about Nightcrawler from the X-Men.
Right.
He's a stinking tiefling, except for the horns. Or if you want to think of a beefier version, think of Hellboy from the comics and movies. He's got all the same features as well. And so they have these tails, usually 4 to 5 feet long, which is really long. And it'll kind of like wrap around like their leg, or you'll see it kind of flick like a cat does when they get annoyed or something. And they're not exactly prehensile, meaning they can't like grab something off the ground with it or use it to open a door. I don't think that there's enough fine motor control in the way it's described to grab something or even necessarily enough strength to pull a door open. However, that is a cool thing to homebrew with your DM. I think that's really awesome.
Well, the cool thing with both of those traits that just came to mind as you were talking, like, you know, you can't really use it. It's like, if this is really like tainted bloodline, you're cursed in a sense. Like you're cursed with two of these most vivid attributes that are essentially useless to you other than just making you obvious to having this like tainted bloodline.
Right.
The horns, they're not going to be strong enough in most cases to like be like a ram and like headbutt somebody in battle.
Or and a minotaur not... and like gore somebody. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so I think it harkens back to that idea of like this, these physical traits are there to kind of set you up as a reminder that your family did something way back when.
Yeah.
They're not there to actually help you.
Yeah, exactly. It's all of the distinction without any of the difference. It's pretty good. Then also too, they usually have kind of sharpened canine teeth, kind of like almost like a vampire, not quite. And then here's where all the controversy comes. Everyone's cool with all this other stuff. The eyes are always solid colors, black, red, white, silver, or gold, with no visible pupil or the kind of the white part like we would see in most humans. And that's a pretty broad range. I like that. I don't think I've heard too much crazy stuff out of beyond those. Mm-hmm. And then the skin tone cover... Here, I think this is where the problem comes. They cover the full range of human coloration. Okay. So that's there, which also includes various shades of red. So any color a human being can be, plus all the shades of red, including like just straight up Hellboy red.
But yeah, and I think a lot of people make purple tieflings, which is where a lot of the battle comes in.
Yeah, like fuchsia and magenta and the straight up purple ones or light blue, like Jester from Critical Role. Like you're like, okay, cool. And I think that might be the problem is that when it comes to like the flavor like that, like Matt didn't hold Laura to like, oh no, here's the only colors you can have. And people who came into the hobby through Critical Role, which is great, didn't know that that wasn't like normal or wasn't like the, like kind of the standard. And so they just went with it. And then now we have these two kind of dissenting opinions in the community, which is kind of interesting. And then the hair, like this as well, kind of cascading behind the horns, usually dark browns and blacks, but also dark red, blue, and purple. And so it's just like, you know what, at this point, all of that is so buck wild, just do what you want. But
yeah, I mean, there's so much variety there to begin with. Like, it's just, yeah, it's very amusing to me. But like, it's just, it's really fun. There's a lot there to play with. And I think you could, even if you really wanted to dig deep into the concept here, you could do something out of that doesn't align with the player's handbook. Mm-hmm. And then the DM could roll it into the campaign where people like see this tiefling that's not a normal color tiefling. And then that, does that spark even more fear, or does it let them be like, okay, well, maybe you're okay? Like, does it change the dynamics when you start to present these different characteristics? Like, I feel like there's so much room for creativity there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, maybe your character thinks that, you know, this is normal, and then starts adventuring and realizes that no one has ever seen a tiefling quite like that. It's like in The Mandalorian, where he's like, yeah, Mandalorians don't take off their helmets ever. And then literally every Mandalorian he ever meets in two seasons, the first thing they do is take off their helmets. And he's like, wait, maybe I'm the weird one, right?
Yeah.
So, spoilers for Mandalorian, sorry. So maybe it's like that. And so again, there's plenty of ways to make this work. There's, I can see very little reason to be such a stickler on this kind of stuff. And I say go for it.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Compendium this week, guys. I hope you enjoyed listening to the conversation that Jason and I had. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast so that you're always the first to know every time a new episode is published. They come out every Tuesday and Friday, or if you're a patron on our Patreon account, every Monday and Thursday, since you'll get them a day early. If you'd like to learn more between episodes, you can always follow us on social media by looking up the Compendium, C-O-M-P-E-N-D-M, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.